Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and we're going to continue here in our study going through Ezekiel. Last time, we ended up in Ezekiel chapter 13, and we are at verse 1. So we're just going to jump right in here. And the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of Yahuwah, the word of the Lord, in the Authorized King James Version. And it's what the Heavenly Father, speaking for myself, has called me to do today. I've just spent an hour in another broadcast doing exactly what the Heavenly Father called here for Ezekiel to do. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets, and I would say of America or the modern world, worldwide Roman Empire, that prophesy and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. That's right. They use the word of our Heavenly Father. They use the word of God and the prophecies and the verses therein, but they use them to support what they develop out of their own heart. And the heart, yes. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked. That's what the scripture says. In the world, they venerate the heart. You know, follow your heart and everything will be all right. Are you kidding? Come on. If the heart is deceitful, wicked, above all, that's the last thing you would want to follow. You know, Yahshua said, my sheep hear my voice. Yes, his sheep follow him, not their heart. So they prophesy out of their own hearts. And he says, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They've seen nothing. They follow their own spirit. And that's the way of the world. You know, they teach at the same time. They prophesy and they say the law was nailed to the cross. They follow their own spirit. They become a law unto themselves. They have seen nothing. They prophesy out of their own hearts. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in battle in the day of Yahuwah. They have seen vanity and lying divination. Vanity, lying divination. All your left behind movies. That's right. All of this false 7-year tribulation based on Daniel's 70th week being juxtaposed. All their created abomination that maketh desolate. They don't look to the scripture for their determination. They prophesy out of their own hearts. They have seen nothing. They make up stuff out of their own minds. They have seen vanity. That's what they have seen is vain. There's nothing to it. Lying divination, saying, The Lord hath said, Thus the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination? You know, here's another one. This generation shall not come to pass. I just spent 2 sessions with my good friend Tom Fress talking about Matthew chapter 24, a prophetic chapter. How they've taken that, which has nothing to do with the reestablishment of Israel. They've taken that phrase, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. They've taken that phrase and they've juxtaposed that and they placed it on the on the recreation of Israel in 1948. And they said, this generation shall not come to pass, so all these things be fulfilled. And we only have 40 years left. That was in 1948. 1988 comes, and one man puts out a book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture. The rapture, you know, the pre-tribulation rapture must happen in 1988. And everyone, wow, it's going to happen. We're already, we tighten our rapture seatbelt up. We're all going for a ride. We're going to escape the great tribulation. Nothing bad will happen to us. We are God's chosen people. You know, sorry about all those millions that are dying for their faith and all the millions, hundreds of millions that have died for their faith in the past. That was not wrath that they were saved from. That was trials and tribulation and persecution. Yes, they've spoken vanity. They've told you a lie. They said, this generation shall not come to pass. 40 years passed and nothing happened. Oh, well, must be 1989. My calculations were wrong. So they came up with another book. It wasn't quite as popular as the 88 reasons that the rapture should happen in 1988. Yes, and one of the big reasons was that 40-year someone determined. I don't know who. I've been looking in the scripture for, thus saith the Lord, a generation equals 40 years. Well, are you so sure about that? You know, I went through the genealogies, and it's a Matthew, and I believe it's parted out into 14 generations, three periods of 14 generations, and it doesn't say anything about a generation equaling anything anywhere in the scripture. A generation is this, you know. My father had a son. My father was one generation. I'm another generation. And then I had a son. That's a third generation. And we were all sitting around the table, three generations together. Now, there's no formula. I heard someone say yesterday, well, it's generations 90 years, because that's about the lifespan of... No, come on. That's not from the scripture. That's just something that you make up, you know, that you want to believe, and it sounds good. And people say things that sound good, and I believe that people think a little too highly of themselves, especially if they can get other people to believe in what they're saying because it sounds good. Sounds good to me. That's a popular saying in the world. But that doesn't work with prophecy. It isn't sounds good to me. Let everything be established by two or three witnesses, and the witness is the Word of God. There's the prophecy we can trust in, but if you can twist it, if they can twist it like the false prophets that here are being spoken of by our Heavenly Father in the Word of Yahuwah to Ezekiel concerning his time, moving forward, we saw this happen in the time of Yahshua the Messiah, too. There were false prophets, and he was telling the true prophecy. No one wanted to believe that. Same thing today. Nothing changes. We still have, you know, popular prophecy is false. It's the false. Of course, it has elements of truth. And of course, it uses scripture, you know, out of place, out of context, and as conjecture. But it's still false. It's still lying. They use scripture in Yahshua's time. The popular prophets were saying, well, you know, the Messiah is going to come and he's going to establish his kingdom in the whole earth, and it's going to cover the whole earth. And Israel saw, well, we are his nation, so he's going to establish us. Yeah, they were using prophecy, but they weren't discerning it very well. And it was plainly written, too. If you read Daniel 70 weeks, if they read Daniel 70 weeks, 70 weeks are determined for thy people. Then it was the end. It was over. Daniel felt sick after he heard it. Yes, he was hearing about the end, the demise of national Israel as a set-apart people to the Heavenly Father as a demonstration of God's government on earth. They had perverted it so. By the time that Babylon came in for the overspreading of abominations, and the Heavenly Father wielded Babylon as his sword in judgment, Israel was not a picture of the government that the Heavenly Father had given them in the wilderness. He gave them the government of the people, by the people, and for the people in the wilderness, and they later on said, hey, we want a king like the other nations. And they threw off his government And the Heavenly Father said, okay, I'll let you have a king, but he's going to send your sons and daughters before his chariots. And he told them all about it, what was going to happen. And it happened. And then you had the lines of the kings, and finally the demise of the kings there with the coming of one world government, which the Father, Heavenly Father, held at bay until he wielded as his sword in judgment against his own people. Because remember, they tried to establish that Babylon one world government with the Tower of Babel. That's right. And the Heavenly Father put it off. He abolished it right there, and he scattered the people to the winds and confused their languages and scattered them to the four corners of the earth. And he delayed world government until he was ready. And then Mystery Babylon, the times of the Gentiles, was brought in with Babylon, finally putting down Israel as a sovereign nation. They never received their sovereignty back wholly as they had it before at that time. So speaking of false prophets in Ezekiel here, and so we can apply this to today. Judgment is coming to America. It's going to happen a little bit differently. We're not going to be carried away by the king of Babylon. Now, there's nowhere to be carried away to anymore. But all those other judgments are coming. Famine, pestilence, war, the sword, I should say. All of those things are coming to America. But prophecy also tells us, if you believe in true prophecy, the second beast, that's America, is going to be here until the end, until Messiah returns. So, but judgment is still coming to America if it is not already here. We see the beginning of it. People, everyone feels something is happening that hasn't happened before. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know who's going to invade, how the sword's going to come, what nations are going to come in. I don't know. It could be a nuclear attack on the cities. I don't know. And martial law, I mean, Homeland Security, look at these people, you know. And they're ready to execute Americans, you know, and put them in detention camps. It's all, if you can't see judgment coming, then you are blind. So the false prophets, that's what Yahuwah, the Lord, our Creator, the Almighty is dealing with here. And it's so applicable to what's going on today. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? And you know, a lot of these people out here that are doing this, they really believe it. But the ones who developed it, well, they perhaps believe it too. I don't know. But I know the demons that are driving it. You know, they know. And the ones that are controlling the situation to bring about false prophecy as a play for the world to see, so that all the world will wonder after them, they know what they're doing. They know something, and they know that they worship Satan. There are those that know they're worshiping Satan, and somehow they believe, actually are deceived into thinking that Satan is going to win. Have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Yahweh, in the Hebrew there, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and the divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. So, you know, you wonder why we don't have it. All we have are these hints here, but we don't have their writings in the writing of the house of Israel. So there's no false prophecy in the Bible, basically, or in the oracles of God. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. They've seduced my people. And what is a seduction? Now, I'm telling you things that are hard, that are going against all the popular prophecy. I'm saying you're not going to be safe. You're not going to be raptured out before anything bad happens. We may have to endure a long period, decades of a new dark age. And yes, you may have to throw off, receive and throw off, if you have not received the mark of the beast. The time will come when the Antichrist, the true Antichrist, will stand up. And all of the eyes of the elect will finally be opened if they're not open now. And if they're not opened in the time before that, they will be open then. And it may cost them everything, even their lives. And their children and their children's children may have to endure decades of persecution, suffering, and even death, as in the last dark ages, in the last Inquisitions of the Antichrist coming again. Because, chapter 13, verse 10, Ezekiel, because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, don't worry, you'll be raptured out. It's only going to be 7 years and you're going to be gone. Peace. And there was no peace. And the world is going to believe in peace when the true Antichrist stands up and has all the answers and declares his jubilee for the debts of the world, because what cannot be paid will not be paid. And they restart. They hit the reset button on the Satan's monetary system and they wipe out all debts. Okay. I don't believe they're going to wipe out private debts, but they're going to wipe out all national debts. Peace. And everyone's going to go, wow. And they're going to offer fine. Because what does the world want? Fix the money. You know, what does the mouth say, make me the mouth of the beast? You know, they have this little contest every 4 years in the second beast, America, where all these men stand up and they vie for the position to be the mouth of the beast. And they say, make me the mouth, you know, and you'll get free this and free that, you know. And one saying, what was his name? Bill, he said, it's about, jobs is one, more jobs, and it's about the economy. That's the other one. And that's all people care about. Fix the economy and give us jobs. So it's fitting when the Antichrist stands up and he says, all world debt, all national debts need to be forgiven. And it happens. And a new morality. They've already stood up about a month ago and they said we need a new morality and a new world bank and a new morality to govern it, to get rid of corporate greed and government corruption, which has caused all these problems with our first attempt at Satan's monetary system. So they're going to hit the restart button, wipe out all these national debts, and everyone's going to be required to participate in the new monetary system. And it's going to be called the Mark of the Beast monetary system. Well, that's not what they're going to call it, but that's exactly what it is. Because a mark is identification, and a beast is a government. So the Mark of the Beast is government identification, but it's going to be a government identification numbering identification system that is tied to monetary privilege in Satan's money system, that is usury and fiat currency. That's right. Credit digits, whatever. And it may be accompanied by different modes of marking the people using the chip or whatever. They really don't need that. You already have it in your hand or your forehead. So if you carry a card in your hand or you have it memorized, it's in your memory, in your forehead, the frontal lobe of your brain. And that's what's coming to America through the tribulation that we are going through now. And when I say great tribulation, yes, we're going to have great tribulation, but it's not going to be the safe tribulation that the false prophets that are out there telling you peace when there is no peace. Because there will be no peace. Like Pax, what do they call it? Pax Romana, Roman peace. And that is by the sword. And that's what the crucifixions were all about. That brought peace. Yeah, it quelled the rebellion. And that's exactly how they're going to do it. The scripture tells about it. You know, you will forfeit your life if you are not part of the new social order that is coming about. And all the world is going to wonder after the Antichrist and the beast that enforces his policy. So, we're in chapter 13, verse 10. They seduce the people. They say, peace, there is no peace. And one built up a wall, and others daubed it with untempered mortar, meaning it's not going to stand. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, it shall fall, and there shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rent it. And we'll continue here when we get back from these messages.